There is a story of Nasruddin, the Sufi spiritual madman, who went in a very disheveled state to a bank, and he took out a check to be cashed. It was a large check, and the teller studied the check. The check looked fine, but Nasruddin was somewhat suspect. So the teller said to Nasruddin, "Can you identify yourself?" Nasruddin reached into his pocket, he took out a mirror, and he said, "Yup, that's me." Richard Alpert, here. Yep, that's me. That's me. I wonder if there are any me's. Maybe they were just I's. I cut out of a Seattle newspaper clipping several years ago that said, it showed a picture of a man behind bars and it said John Doe under it. And it said, this man was arrested with a dispatch case full of identity cards. But the predicament is none of them are him. And the police can't find out who he is. And he said to them, "You're the ones that arrested me. You figure out who I am. I know who I am." And the sergeant said, "He has us foiled." This is a quote from Kalu Rinpoche. This is a quote from Kalu Rinpoche. "We live in illusion and the appearance of things. There is a reality. We are that reality. When we understand, then we see that we are nothing. And being nothing, we are everything. That is all. Not once more. We live in illusion and the appearance of things. There is a reality, and we are that reality. When we understand, then we see that we are nothing. And being nothing, we are everything. That's all." Let me give you one more to play with that one. This is from Dogen Zenji. "To study the way," capital W, "to study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be enlightened by all things. To be enlightened by all things is to remove the barrier between self and other. To study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be enlightened by all things. To be enlightened by all things is to remove the barrier between self and other. You know, you can take just a few of these and you can live with them day after day after day. You can recite them in your car. I mean, shlokas, these little pithy ways of looking at wisdom, like things that come out of the Dharmapada or any of these books, they're just little jewels. And you just take one and you play with it all the time. You just keep playing with it, playing with it, playing with it, and go deeper in. Richard Alpert here. Who's that? Who is that? Who is it who answered to their name? How identified are you with that name? Does that have anything to do with you? Is that who you are? Am I Richard Alpert? Yep, that's me. But is it I? You and I have many me's. There's the me that presents itself in the bank, and there's the me that sits on the couch at home alone, or with the family. There are many me's. There's the impulsive me, and the responsible me, and the doubting me, and the angry me, and they keep replacing each other. And when you're in the depressed me, you hardly ever remember the joyful me. Seems like a dream, doesn't it? But they're all dreams. They're all dreams. If all the me's are dreams, who am I? Who am I if the me's are dreams? If every something is just another dream, then I must be nothing or nobody. But if I'm nothing or nobody, am I? Is nobody? Is nobody? Can you let your rational mind, your logical, analytic mind, loose enough for a moment? Set it aside for a moment to conceive of the possibility that what you in essence are does not exist in form, and yet you are. The poem of Swami Ram Tirth, I think I gave it the other night. I am without form, without limit. I am beyond space, beyond time. I am in everything. Everything is in me. I am the bliss of the universe. Everywhere I am. Can you see how defining yourself as anything, I am Richard Alpert, I am man, I am whatever, you cut yourself off from the experience of I am everything. Because you just define what you're not. Then I say I am a man, then I am not a woman. And then all those feelings and all that, all those qualities, all those hormonal endocrinal forces that go on in each sex are lost to me. I just define myself out of the territory. Every time you say what you are, you immediately define what you're not. I am in everything, everything is in me. Can you imagine having, you realize that your awareness, you as awareness, is caught in a time-space trap that you think is real. And you've identified yourself with this package so long that you can't go inside another person to know what they're feeling or be inside them fully because you're too busy being somebody. That you're staying inside a room that doesn't allow you to adventure into the universe with your awareness. And that the moment you quiet down enough so you extricate your awareness from identifying with the prison of thoughts that you have created for yourself, your awareness starts to be everywhere. One of my old Maharaji stories. Right after, when I went to India in 1967 and met Maharaji, and he just, they took care of me and fed me and trained me, and Haridas taught me Raja Yoga. And every now and then I'd see Maharaji. And after about 5 months, I went back to, going to go back to the United States, and I had to go to Delhi to extend my visa. And I went to Delhi. This was my first trip out of the temple. And I was pretty nervous. Because now, instead of Western clothes, I was wearing an ulfi, which is it's like a potato sack with holes for the arms and a hole for the neck. And it's made of sort of burlap. And I was barefoot, and I had beads and a long beard and long hair. And I was going to Delhi. It's like going to New York City. And I wasn't at all comfortable about this. But I went to Delhi, I was really high because I'd been doing long fasts and many hours of meditation, and I was sort of like zzz. And I landed in New Delhi in Konos Circus. And I had some things to do, like going in to get envelopes, which you couldn't get up in Nainital. So I went into a stationery store and I got the envelopes. And I went into my jola, my bag, to get the money, and the man says, oh, no, we wouldn't take money from you. And I said, well, why not? I'm a Westerner, I got money. Oh, no, I can feel your spirit. I wouldn't take money from you. It's an honor to serve you. So I went out on the street, I'm walking barefoot, you know. And I mean, I'm just floating out there, and I suddenly realize I'm in a different universe than I had been when I was in Delhi last time. So it came lunchtime, and I decided to go to a vegetarian restaurant. And I went in, and again, they were very respectful, and they sat me down in a booth, and they sort of all were kind of watching me. And I got caught in my ego, along with the bliss I was feeling, and I thought, you know, I began to be aware of them watching me, being a holy man. So I started, when I offered the food, I offered it in a particularly, you know, like with a little bit of showbiz to it, you know. I mean, you can just sit and offer it with your mind, or you can, you know, do this and all that stuff. And I just kind of put a little schmaltz into it. And then I ate, and everybody was very pleased. I mean, I was very holy. And but the dessert came, and it was sherbet, and it had two biscuits in it, two English biscuits, cream-filled. Now, I knew that wasn't yogi food, okay? And I knew they knew it, too. But I wanted those biscuits. There was a fat little Jewish boy from Boston who wanted those biscuits, right? I mean, the yogi didn't want them. You can't badmouth him. He's just sitting being holy. But this other little Jewish boy, he wanted them. But they were watching. So I looked holy in this direction, And I edged the dessert around to the left. See, I was on the inside booth. And then I turned as if I were doing something holy in this direction, and I edged the cookies into my mouth on the side so they wouldn't see it. And I got the two cookies in and managed to get my holiness out of the restaurant. And that night I took the all-night bus back up to Nainital, which is a little village, and I then took a bus out to my guru. And I came in and I brought apples and I offered them the apples and I sat down and he was talking to somebody and then he turned and he looked at me and he said to me, "How'd you like the biscuits?" I'm just offering these things to you. You can do with anything you want. You know? The other one, the one that goes with that, the companion piece. I had a Volkswagen microbus that I bought actually to go on a yatra with Swami Muktananda. And then I had this bus up in the mountains. And one day we were told we couldn't see Maharaji till the afternoon, and so we took the bus and a number of us went over to look at a little temple of Sambhari Maharaj, another great saint from that area. On the way back, the bus came to a hill, and it was only running on three cylinders, so it wouldn't get up the hill. So I said, "Everybody get out and push." So everybody got out but two women sitting in the back who were talking. And they knew I had asked them, but they were talking, and they just ignored it, and we pushed with them in it. But I got a little angry at them. They should have gotten out and pushed. I would have gotten out and pushed. Pretty inconsiderate. And I kind of built a little case in my head. But I'm a gentleman from New England, you know, and you don't say anything. Just keep it to yourself. So we all got back on the bus and drove back to the temple, and we walked into the temple. Maharaji's sitting across the way, and he screams across the temple, "Ram Dass is angry." Says it in Hindi. And everybody says, "No, no, he's been very lovely." "No, Ram Dass is angry. The women wouldn't get out and push." See the statement, he is everywhere. One is everywhere when one isn't being somebody. Can you imagine that your awareness, I mean, many of you have had experiences of your awareness going out of your body. And I've had experiences where my awareness is up on the ceiling and there's a long blue radiant cord that comes down to my body. And I'm looking at this body and it looks dead down on the floor. And I realize I'm here and it's there. So I know I'm not my body. I don't identify with a body. This is just a 56-year-old decaying package. It's really quite functional still. It's getting really actually kind of beautiful as it gets old. It's all kind of bones and skin and blood vessels and wrinkles. I have these spots now all over my arm. The Porcelana ad says, they call these aging spots. I call them ugly. But the way I say it is they call these ugly. I call them aging spots. As long as you invest in your body, you're really playing a losing game, you realize that. Because it's built into the system that it just decays. But getting out of your body is one thing. How about getting out of your personality? How about standing somewhere where you could watch your personality in action? The one you take so seriously. The one you say, "I have needs, I have desires, I'm suffering, I'm hopeful. I'm relaxed. I'm tense. I'm yearning. I am bloop personality. Those seem real, don't they? We live in illusion and the appearance of things. There is a reality, we are that reality. When we understand, then we see that we are nothing. Can you imagine how liberating it would be if it turned out you weren't your personality? Think of how much effort you've made to be comfortable in it, and what a drag it's been. Think of all the little neuroses, the big neuroses, and the discussions you've had with people about working out your personality. Just think of the energy you've put into it. It's awesome. I mean, I say years and years and years just... I mean, feeling like as long as I'm going to live here, I might as well make it habitable. Except I didn't think I lived there. I thought I was it. I remember the time when I was with Maharaji and Maharaji told me to love everyone. We'd be in the back of the temple and he'd say, Ramdas. He'd call and they'd say, Ramdas, you want it? And I'd go rushing up and kneel in front of the guru waiting for the great wisdom or something, or just a hit of love. And he'd lean towards me and say, Ramdas, love everyone. Yes, Maharaj. Jow, go. So I'd be sent back to the back of the temple. And then several hours later, I get the call, Ramdas, Maharaji wants you. And I go plowing up and I kneel down and I bow. Ramdas. Yes, Maharaj. Tell the truth. Yes, Maharaj. Go back. I'm sitting there, tell the truth, love everyone, tell the truth, love everyone. Well, he does this for 2 weeks. I mean, see, the Maharaji's right on the edge. You never know whether you're dealing with a completely raving maniac, you know, who's just, you're completely projecting into, except that you know it doesn't feel that way because he's so off the wall all the time. And so he keep calling me up, Ramdas. Yes, Maharaji. Each time I'd expect I was going to get, now here's the final mantra that will make you into, you know, an elephant. And all I get is, love everyone, tell the truth. Love everyone, tell the truth. So I thought about it and I realized finally that the truth was I didn't love everyone. What to do? And I looked at what I'd done because I was so anxious about getting people's love that what I had done thus far was I had made believe I loved everyone. But it wasn't the truth. And I thought, since he's instructing me to do something, I might as well, why don't I try telling the truth for a change? And I looked around at the 30-odd satsang, or this community of Mishugana beings that had ended up in the temple with me. And I, one by one, I looked at them, and the truth was I didn't like them. And I started to tell the truth, because we were all living together, and we go out to see Maharaji every day when he'd allow us. And one person was just too arrogant, and I didn't like him. Then another person would do with money. Money corrupts a saint. Money should go around you, not through you. Yes, Maharaji. So I thought, how can I live that one out? So I thought, well, I won't touch money. So I got somebody else to touch it for me. So they'd carry my money. They became my bag man. So, you know, when I got on the bus, they'd pay. What Krishnamurti did all his life. He never touched money. He always had a bag man. It's a kind of a cop-out, you see. But it's a kind of a genteel one. But when I got angry at all these people, that included my bag man. And I didn't want to have anything to do with any of them or be dependent on them. So I had no way to get to the temple except walk. And it was a beautiful walk through the back mountains, and it was about 8 miles. So I set out to walk. But as the walk went on, I got angrier and angrier and angrier and angrier. By the time I got to the temple, I looked down from the hills, and there was everybody hanging around Maharaji, laughing and playing and having a good time, and here I was, sweaty and hungry and tired, you know. So I came down, I was really furious at all of them for making me this miserable, which is all my mind, you understand. I walked in, and one of the fellows brought me a plate of food, the arrogant one. And I took the food and I threw it in his face. And Maharaji said, "Ramdas." He was across the courtyard, so I went running over. He said, "Something troubling you?" And I started to sob, I mean, wild crying. And I said, "I hate all those people." And I said, "I hate myself." He said, "The only person I love is you." He said, "You love me?" I said, "Yeah." And he got milk, and he fed me milk, and he was crying, and he was hitting me on the head and pulling my beard. I got all done. Very disheveled. Got a check. He said, "I told you to love everyone." I said, "But not you, but Maharaji, you told me to tell the truth, and the truth is I don't love everyone." And he came. Now, do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying, this is who I am. Right? And he comes up nose to nose. So he said, "I didn't read us." He took, said, "Yes." Now, how could you do that? That's me. There aren't any. If they love everyone. Unless who you think you are is somebody whose truth is that everyone. Years ago, that's a picture of a man behind it. The case city car, him, but who he is. And it was my coffin. As soon as I died, you're the ones that are. And would be what when I was finished was somebody who. Telling me who I'd be when I'd be finished being who I thought I was. Quote from, is this too complicated or are you here? This is, and the is a, and we understand the courtyard and there were all these people who I didn't like. They are nothing. A little bit when I was, I looked over, people that I detested, I loved. I loved them and I hated them both. And saw that I didn't love them and hate them on the same plane of reality. And hated them was on the plane of reality of game stuff. Stuff of. And then right behind it, when I looked at. I just love them. Not at the study the get the cell to be enlightened. Move the between.